Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Well, hi, and welcome to a change here. We're going to be interviewing Bruce Norris on Bruce Norris's radio show. My name is Sean Watkins. I'm here with my partner, Angel Bronskis, and it's good to see you, Bruce.
Good to see you, Sean.
And we were just talking about this, that your producer was saying he hears you all the time talking about things, but nobody ever asks you the questions, and so it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good change. And as usual, I don't have any questions written down.
Okay.
You don't like to have questions ahead of time.
No.
I don't know if people know that. And we talked about why you don't like questions ahead of time. Can you go over that? Because it's going to lead me into how we negotiate.
Yeah, it's important that if you're the interviewer, that you listen to the answers. And a lot of times the second question will have nothing to do with what the person just answered on the first question. Even though you thought it might naturally go there, it might not have, but it might have changed directions and improved the interview. And you just have to be open to it. And so that's why I'd actually prefer that if somebody's interviewing me, they usually have a list of questions, but I'd rather they listen to the answer so they can go to whatever naturally flows. For myself, I mean, the reason you'd probably interview anybody is they're supposed to know their stuff. And so I really don't care what the question is. I'm supposed to know. and if I don't, I'm not going to fake it, and it's okay.
Yeah, and the always the biggest challenge for me is getting to beneath the answer. It's easy for you to have answers ready. And we almost, because we live in a society of sound bites, everybody wants the one word, what's the biggest thing I took away from that?
Mm-hmm.
But if you fall into that trap, you're going to ask the same questions that everybody else asked. And as soon as you get your answer, you've moved on.
Yeah.
You didn't get underneath there. It's clear that everybody that knows you knows that you're a man that follows statistics.
Mm-hmm.
That is it fair to say that that's one of your passions is things that came before?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, that was one of the important discoveries for me is figuring out how to have access to the past so you could look at trends, and then that painted a pretty clear picture of what was likely to happen in the future. And that didn't come easy. You know, now we have the internet. It's like cheating. But right. Prior to that, you had to earn your way to a 25-year chart.
I want to get to how the ease of information has changed the way you do things. But before I get there, what I want to know is, on your quest for the data, because again, people that know you know that you've built a successful real estate buying, real estate lending business, but that didn't happen in a couple of years. That has happened over the last 30 plus years.
Yeah, it wasn't like the overnight success. Although we did have good success quickly to a certain extent. You know, I don't know if sometimes you look at the time frame you did it in and go, okay, that was pretty fortunate because things were escalating in price or whatever. So, you know, I happened to get in the business in 81. Interest rates were awful, but after 81, things were tough. And so there were builders that couldn't sell stuff. And, you know, we started buying a little builders out, and we just made enough money to where we changed our lifestyle pretty quickly and built a custom home. And so we had some of that success, but what we didn't know was there were changes of cycles coming.
That's what it's leading me to is you're in the middle of it. And when you're in the middle of your business, whether it's doing really well or whether it's doing poorly, I think that that's kind of the draw. When it's doing well, we have a tendency to think that's not going to change.
That's right.
And we just say, well, if that worked yesterday, it's going to continue to work today.
Yeah, where you find deals, when that changes and you don't know it's coming, that's your business is over.
That's exactly right. So what you have seemed to be able to do better than anyone else I've met in the real estate business, Bruce, is something, what I'm looking for is the shift. When you started this business years and years ago, and you were, I've heard you tell the story quite a few times, when you were selling electrical sales and you realized that you had a gift. It wasn't particularly real estate knowledge that you had. what you realized is that you watched people do this business, the real estate business, and realized that you had the ability to find out what the real issue was with the person.
Yeah.
So that was an innate skill you had. It didn't have anything to do with knowing the front end from an escrow, from the back end of a HUD. That wasn't important. What I'm interested in is what drove you to find out where these trends are coming from, because I got to be honest with you, that doesn't keep me up at night knowing where the trend is. I want to know you so that I know what the trend is. So for me, knowing what drove you to start, because this stuff was not easily available when you were looking for this stuff. I mean, you must have had to be tracking down file clerks and people in basements to find out where this stuff is stored.
Yeah, actually, I did. I drove around and went to the colleges, like in the UC system, and looked at archives and got permission. And actually, tomorrow, here I am again, I get permission to go to the archives of Cal Poly Pomona, which is really cool because they have stuff that no one else has into the 70s and 60s. So like a kid in a candy shop, but that's the only place it is. It isn't online because no one kept track of the same stuff they did. So how I originally started that, you know, I had an experience in 1989. It was painful. I didn't think anything about trends. I always thought about how things were right now. And so I was stuck there, and everything was successful, and we decided to build 7 custom homes exactly at a peak of a market. And, of course, when you're building, it takes a while to get them done. Mm-hmm. When I got them done, everything had changed. So 3 years later, I finally exit that mess, you know, by writing checks and everything. So when you write a $52,000 check to complete a short sale and it's a personal check, that's a good lesson. You remember that one. You know, that's part of – I think what's important as an investor is you go through some pain sometimes and you go, I want to remember that. Because if you don't, you probably will blow it off and you won't really catch the lesson. Well, and then in 95, when I bought the car for Aaron and for 15.7, a Honda Civic, and 2 days later buy a house in Riverside for 13.3. Yeah, that was, wow, what happened to 89 to 95? Why did real estate go from you can't do anything wrong to no one wants it for 13 grand and it rents for 550? And I just thought somebody must have figured this out with the trends. And when I looked, that was my first search. I wasn't trying to look up the data. I was trying to find the guy that had figured it out.
You're trying to find the guy that was clearly smarter than everybody else.
Yeah, I spent all my time looking for that. So I went into the archives and they had microfiche. So I looked up every article written that had the word price in it and read it for 25 years in every magazine. Looking for somebody that said, okay, yep, you know, here we are in 1984. By the time we get to 1990, it's going to go boom. Didn't happen. No one had figured it out. At least I thought, you know, I couldn't find it. And so, and Mr. Schumacher, who wrote a book, Buy and Hold Real Estate, said in one of his chapters, it's actually easier to appraise a property a decade out than it is next year. And I remember thinking about that. I said, I wonder if that's true for an entire state. I wonder if I literally can appraise the state of California out in time. And that was really the start of my journey going, what I really need is 25 years of charts to see what happened so I could play and see what was an initial event, what kicks this stuff off. Because if I could find just that domino that makes everything else happen afterwards, then I would really have like a cheat sheet. Because you really get tired of writing checks that are never coming back.
And so during that research, as you were looking for the one person who had assembled this information, you weren't finding that person. And you were building at this point kind of your own archive. As you were reading through these articles, it seems like you were kind of elevating your status as pretty much the real estate historian who was you were starting to track and chart these things. And
well, I never charted anything until I figured out no one had done it.
Yeah.
Then I started going, okay, I'm going to have to do this myself. And so really I didn't know where to start. So I went to the library in Riverside and started to poke around and see, you know, what they had. And they had a pretty cool selection. But then I went to UCLA and
right.
You just started. And some of the pieces you had to buy, it wasn't just – you couldn't take it away, and you needed to look at it. I spent a lot of time writing your year's statistics. I mean, yeah. I can't take the book. Okay, well, I'm taking the information. I didn't have the little camera to take the picture of the page.
Right. That's the thing that is so amazing is that when you look back, and I was just talking to my wife about our children, and none of my children will know an age that doesn't have the personal computer. A mouse to my kids is not a rodent. It's a device to control a computer.
Right.
And my 10-year-old and younger will never know an age without wireless communication. So when I say things like the word encyclopedia, or heaven forbid, I say the word library, they're going the way of the dinosaur because just like any kid, they can get an internet book, an audio book, everything's at their fingertips and it's so fast to access. You were doing this in a time and an age where it was pen, paper, you can't take the reference material out. And when you got this overlay, Bruce, and you looked at it, what's so fascinating to me is that you are still in the real estate business because the investors that I've met, and I've met a lot of them, they have a shelf life.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be about 5 years, depending on when they got in, and yeah. then they're out.
Well, and it's interesting. It's not the exact time frame. People try to say, well, real estate goes in 7-year cycles, and it doesn't. But the 5 years probably is enough of a cycle to where it shifts to going from this is working and now it isn't working. And if you don't know the shift, you're just done.
Yeah. The one thing's working, and as soon as it starts to shift, there's that lag. And it's the 6 to 8 month lag where the checks stop coming as mm-hmm. frequently, and or you start to write bigger checks. And it's they don't know when to change direction. And over this period, I mean, I've gone to every class that you've taught, I've attended, if not the very first time you put it out in a subsequent session. You're very detailed, and your charts and your graphs are very detailed. But more than anything else, I think people get overwhelmed with the data that you put out. And what they're really looking for is a tell me what to do now.
Yeah.
Tell me why you have elected to go so wide ranging with your information instead of just, why don't you give a 5-step process, Bruce, for being an excellent California real estate investor today? Like the no fail guarantee, Bruce Norris success program.
Okay. The reason is there's a teacher in me that wants people to leave with the capability of drawing better conclusions themselves and better than conclusions than I've drawn. In other words, this is the blueprint I have found to process this information and come to the best decision I can as an investor. So that when it scares me when people start picking up a cell phone after they hear the first 15 or 3 hours of 1 or 2 day presentation on this is what's next, and they're going like sell all the stuff. It's like, no, don't do that. How do you know I'm right? I like to teach the process because I think it's fun to have discovered it, but it really is always to translate to tomorrow. What do I do tomorrow morning as an investor that's the most efficient activity that's likely to find something that cash flows or profits me? That's what it's all about. Without that blueprint, you listen to late night TV, and what seems to be a natural conclusion is usually wrong. Foreclosures are way up. So let's talk to people directly in California that are in foreclosure, except for the great majority of them owe twice as much as a house is worth. So you're going to find yourself very frustrated, and it's expensive. So that business, the business model changes. Right now, us as a company buy everything at Trustee Sales. That has a certain segment of cost involved, but it's very inexpensive per house. If you're buying REOs or short sales, that's very inexpensive per house because you're talking relationships. You start mailing to people in foreclosure, you're going to be out thousands of dollars. And if you do that in the wrong cycle and it nets no results, yeah, you won't be out in 5 years. You'll be out in 5 months and be out 20 grand. So timing to know when the appropriate activity is makes investing possible and survivable.
And you mentioned conclusions. You and I have had discussions about conclusions and how during your research, as recently as the research you've been doing for your upcoming training, the conclusions that others have come to, you haven't been coming to those same conclusions. You're almost like, we talk duck, duck, goose. And I don't want to label you as a contrarian, but a lot of the things that I've looked at and read from you, that's the first thing that comes to mind for me, Bruce, because you make up your own mind. 10 people can look at the charts that you have and come up to 10 different conclusions. But the danger is when they see Bruce Norris, they assume that your conclusions are always right.
Mm.
And I know what you've been doing is exactly what you said. Here's the data. One thing that I love about working with your group is that I know that investors that come out of your training, when I talk to them, and I can't name all the names, I know you know, people are in note buying, new construction, adding existing square footage to existing properties. The people that come out of your training after looking at your charts, they don't, you can't say, oh, he's doing the Bruce Norris thing, because there really isn't one of those. How do you, I know you have a lot, you put a lot of emphasis on how responsible you feel when you put out this information,
mm-hmm.
but how do you use the feedback that your colleagues and your students are giving you to look at the charts or go in a different direction? How much external influence from other investors, how much does that influence where you're looking for next?
From other investors, I'd have to say it's minimal, because it's one of those, this is one of those facets that they look toward me. So, mm-hmm. but where do I look? I look outside of actually of the world of real estate quite often. To where, and that's become a transition that's been necessary. I never thought in my wildest imagination that I'd have to pay attention to Squawk Box at midnight to see if Greece pays money or not. And it's almost become a global economic. It's and I'm not an economist. You know, sometimes people interview me and they say, "Well, this, you know, you're an economist. No, I have a high school diploma and a little bit of you know, street smarts from getting my lumps and." And I think really the input that we get as far as the business, what's working is the loan business and our own experience as buyers.
Okay.
So that's, you know, as far as it's what we thought would be working. We look at these charts and hit the ground doing this activity. Yeah, we are almost always correct in that because it's pretty easy, honestly, once you understand that cheat sheet where the deals are going to be. And every month, like we might have, I think we have $6 or $7 million of pending loans. Every one of those loans were predictable. The core of where you found them is replicated almost 100% of the time. It's not owner-occupant owners or in California. It's short sales and REOs by
okay.
and large.
And that's today.
Today and here. You know, that's right. Interesting is that, you know, in again, looking at charts, which I just am, you know, starting this project again, and you look at states that aren't so damaged, you know, and they must be going, what's all the hullabaloo about, man, because we aren't doing anything bad. And, you know, you've got Florida and Phoenix and, you know, Nevada and us falling off the face of the earth, and you got other places going, what's the big deal? And it's hard to make a national policy, and it's one of the reasons why it's difficult to make other states pay for what's going on basically in five states. So, you know, all of these things you have to take into consideration. And the reason why I have so much humility about the conclusions, I'm wrong. I just looked at last night. One of the predictions I made is that I thought we would probably have some inflation and higher interest rates. Okay. So we all the projections, I'm looking at 6.5% interest, and now we're at 4. Okay. Well, that's a mistake. It meant that there was something outside of the world of real estate that trumped what should have happened. But that's another piece of information. So now you're going as somebody tries to figure it out. Okay, I don't have to just read the California budget. I don't have to read just the U.S. budget. I have to read the IMF global. Just going, you've got to be kidding
What's
me.
What's the monetary policy of the global?
Yeah. Okay, know. So Greece defaults or whatever, and they have a recession. Okay, that hurts our GDP. Now, I really just saw it this morning. I have to figure out a GDP chart along with price movement in California. Because I've got to see if something causes a recession somewhere, do we just not go up because there's no more chips? And it's fun. I mean, I do get a kick out of it, but it's a lot of work. It is. And honestly, the basis of what I know is a big help. I wouldn't want to start this from scratch because what I know allows me to be very efficient with the next pile It's like, I already know that's not true, you know, and it's so much easier.
Yeah. You've got your, you know, your lie detector on all the time.
Yeah. You have a baseline where you go, okay, that I already know is a false leader, if you will.
And how much does emotion play in your years of experience when people, I know that your first report, and I know this because my mother, who's been in the title industry, she'd say 100 years, but we clearly that's not, she's been in the title business a long time. And she remembers being invited to a lunch at the California Escrow Association. It was the California crash.
Okay.
And, being told that, you were predicting the, it was actually a comeback. They were predicting
the first one. 97.
And people just saying, hey, we're going to go for the free food because this guy's a complete whack job. and she remembers it listening. And she says about halfway through, I sat forward and I said, wait, this guy isn't a kook. He's actually paid attention. But emotionally, the people in that room were not prepared to hear what you had to say. How does that play, whether negatively or positively, when you're looking to do something, you know that's in the back of people's minds? How does that play on you?
It doesn't. That's the one thing about being a contrarian investor, which I certainly am, is you've got to be capable of drawing completely independent conclusions, and I don't need anyone else to go, you're probably right. I don't. I could be the first one saying this is likely and this is where I'm going, and I don't need anyone else to go, hey, you know, or a whole bunch of people to support it. I don't. When you're talking about a positive report in 97 after a negative event, people are happy you showed up even if they think you're a kook. But in 2006, when you come after basically 8 years of successive, ever-increasing good results, they don't appreciate you showing up.
That's interesting. So you got more negative feedback that one.
Oh, yes.
I see by your face. You're just like, you're kidding me?
Well, because, and you know what? We both know this experience to be true. Getting in at the bottom is not even important because the first 2 years of a boom don't even feel like you did anything. So you're not missing very much except for the most motivated sellers will exist right then. But if you don't get out in a time frame that's sometimes as tight as a quarter, you ain't getting out without a loss. And then you start that emotional support of your past decision. So, well, I made the decision. I must be right. So this is a temporary glitch. And then all of a sudden, before you really react, you've slid down a hill way further than you thought.
And that's so interesting because 90% of the investors that I meet think it's more important to know when to get in. They don't think about when to get out. And that old adage, people will ride a loser and dump a winner, mm-hmm. always comes to mind. In other words, oh, I'm going to wait. I'm going to take my chips and sit on the sidelines until I know the bottom's here. Mm-hmm. And my next question is, can you send me a text message when that happens? Because who knows when that is?
We took a little bit of heat in the blogging world for buying stuff in 08. And because it was obvious not a bottom to somebody. I said, well, here's what we're buying. We're buying, you know, one of our typical rentals would sell for $350 at the peak. We bought for $56. We put $30,000 in it, rents for $1,400. I'll live with that one if it's wrong because it's for a different purpose than I'm not flipping it. I'm going to own something and it costs a third of what it costs to build. I guess that's going to work, you know, I mean, given enough time. So it's most of the time you find the people that are giving you opinions than if you actually would say, well, how many of these have you done? It's, well, we've never done one. Or right. We did before, but we got hurt. And the blogosphere is filled with very opinionated amateurs. And I usually stay away from it.
Well, I think we're coming up on the break on this segment. But interesting. I know what you mean when I say my neighbor who's never done anything sensational or successful in his or her life is going to give me advice on what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take my advice from someone
right.
else and take my ball and go home, if you will. Well, let's wrap up this first segment and
right.
get on to the next one.
Okay, Sean, thanks for the interview.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.